Moncrief on News Talk.
Does everyone have a book in them? And if you feel you do, just how arduous is it to see your work published in Easons? The Telegraph journalist Richard Fitzpatrick has just published his third non-fiction book entitled HH about the 1960s football manager Helenio Herrera. Richard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Do you think everyone has a book in them?
I think so. Yeah. Everybody has a story to tell. I think most people, if it's a life story, that will lend a natural arc to the narrative. So, if something interesting has happened to you in your life, yeah, it's definitely worth telling that story. And then I think novelists are a different breed than those people who fashion books out of their imagination. That's a real skill.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I suppose it's a skill people can hone and all that sort of thing. So assuming somebody does have a story to tell, I suppose whether it's fiction or non-fiction, the first thing is writing it, which requires a certain amount of discipline, I would have thought. Then when you have a manuscript and you think it's okay, what should you do with it?
The first thing is I would pass it around to your friends, particularly people who have are experienced writers, journalists or authors. And you really have to whip it into shape, because what might seem good to you, it'll need work on it. The books I've written, I've rinsed them to pieces, just rewriting, just sharpening it up. So get it as good as you can before submitting it to a publisher or agent. I couldn't stress that enough.
Yeah.
Just a fresh eye. And it looks so sloppy, even, you're a writer yourself, you don't spot errors and it looks, typos and stuff like that. And that's really sloppy, even just to tidy up those things alone.
Yeah, yeah. Characters changing name halfway through and that kind of thing, which can happen. But if you don't know any writers or journalists, what do you do?
You definitely have friends who would, you'd respect as good readers, intelligent friends. They don't have to be published authors or journalists, let's say. Definitely you will have those kind of friends in your orbit, fellow book lovers. So just share it with them. Some of the first readers I've had over the years haven't always been published authors themselves, just people I respect.
Yeah. Right. So you've got a few people to kind of make helpful critiques of it, hopefully helpful critiques. Should you go to a publisher first or try to find an agent instead?
This is the third book I've written. The second and third book I published in England, in London, and that publishing world predominantly works through agents. They're the kind of gatekeepers for the publishing industry. A lot of the big publishers in England don't accept unsolicited manuscripts. In Ireland, it's a smaller market and you can go directly to publishers. Big piece of advice before you knock on the door of a publisher would be to get a copy of the writer's and artist's yearbook. They've been publishing this for, 20 years. A new volume comes out every year. It is absolutely invaluable. It will give you brilliant advice about how to construct a proposal, the kind of things that publishers are looking at. It will help you identify publishers who are suitable for your genre of writing. I can't recommend it enough, and it's always what I recommend to people who ask me for advice about publishing. It's a really super resource, and very easy to pick up a copy. And it doesn't even have to be the 2026 volume. Although, obviously, the more recent, the better, because the publishing contact details in there will be up to date. I'm pretty sure 95% sure the Irish publishing houses' details are in there as well. Just do the research. The first book I wrote was published back in 2008, and I actually went to, I think it was a lecture that Fintan O'Toole was giving, the Irish Times journalist and writer. And I just went up to him afterwards and asked him for advice. I didn't know how to tackle the whole world of publishing. And he very kindly gave me advice and said, look, these are five or six publishers. And I'm pretty sure he recommended Mercier Press would be suitable. They were an independent publisher down in Cork. And that was actually who I ended up with. So, you know, talk to people and get that writers and artists yearbook. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And when you got set out to start contacting publishers, do you just send them the book?
Oh, yeah. This is the important thing. You have to be absolutely tenacious and ready for refusal. The second book I wrote, I would have sent it to about 20 odd publishers and agents in the UK. And one or two came back, two on the same day, actually. But a publishing house and an agent, and I went with the agent. But I mean, a journalist used to getting the door slammed in my face, but you really have to be persistent at that stage. So as regards what do you send them, it's quite standard. You send them a proposal document, so that'll have seven or eight sections in it, a kind of brief summary of the book, a short biographical details about yourself, the outline of the chapters, key selling points, previous kind of publications that are in a similar vein to your book. And then crucially, they'll ask for three chapters, sometimes one chapter. That's obviously, you have to hook them on that. If they read a couple of pages of that and they're not hooked, you know, it'll be tough, you know, for you. The other route then, of course, is self-publishing nowadays.
Yeah. Now, just to stay on the pre-C thing, like you send them a description of the entire thing. Say it's a novel with a big twist at the end. You have to tell them what the big twist at the end is. It's not like, ooh, keep reading to find out.
Yeah, you would, yeah, because they need to find out straight away. They'll have however many proposals on their table that day, you know, that they're be rifling through.
From
start to finish.
If, say, an agent then picks you up, it's not guaranteed that they're going to be able to sell it, or are the chances greatly improved that they could be able to sell it to someone?
Oh, I'd say if you get an agent interested in your book, you're almost there. Like, I would say to get them is difficult, get them interested in. I don't know this from experience, but I'd be surprised if you got an agent and they weren't able to sell the book. I would be surprised.
Yeah. I suppose they wouldn't think they wouldn't take it on if they didn't think they could sell it.
Exactly.
So then they go and sell it. And so from that point on, is this like massive bidding war, buying holiday homes in Spain? That's basically what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what you dream about. It's getting, like selling a house, there's a bidding war, as you say, an auction. You get five or six or two or three playing off each other, and that's the ideal. You'd kind of go, like in my experience, I went with the best deal, but also the best, you know, the Bloomsbury in London, a good publishing house. I was very happy to go with them. The money then, yeah, it depends, like in fiction, you know. Typically, the advance, there's, you know, not a lot of money in books. Let's be honest. Only 5,000 or only 5% of books sell more than 5,000 copies. So if you could do the maths in your head, like if you're a writer, will typically get about 10% of sales. So if the book is 15 or euro, you know, you can work that out. The great John Banville, before he won the Booker Prize around 20 years ago now, for The Sea, I think it was, he was only selling 3,000 copies of his books. Like, they're fantastic novels, but, you know, he was paying the bills by being a sub-editor and a literary editor at the Irish Times. So
would the publisher then go, right, we've bought your book, but realistically, you're only really going to move a few thousand copies of this. And so the advance against sales they give you, it would reflect that.
Yeah, it will, exactly, yeah. There's other things as well, like for the books I write, there's very good. I got several translations, and the last book I'll be confident of getting a good few translations with this book as well. That's real gravy, like you'll get. That's fantastic, top of money as well. And again, this would be just exclusive to my world, and most of the people I know who are authors, they're journalists as well. It's a fantastic door opener. It leads on to other things. It opens up opportunities for your career as a journalist. So there's great value there. And also then with this book that I've done, the third book, I did the audiobook. So that pays very well as well, just for the day rate.
Right.
Doing the audiobook. Great fun as well.
And now, for if there's somebody sitting at a laptop right now, Richard, and they're on chapter one, what's I don't know, this is kind of how long is a piece of string, but how long are you looking at from the time they've from the time they've started the book, they've gone through, you know, maybe multiple rejections, they finally get an agent, then the agent looks for a publisher, then the publisher takes them on and says, right, we're gonna publish this book. You're looking at a period of years, are you?
Yeah. Well, the hard thing is just writing the manuscript. You have the back broken of it. Then the publishing industry works in very slow time frames. This last book I've done, I handed in the manuscript in spring 2024. And it only saw the light of day this week, a week ago, last Thursday. So they work very slowly, unless it's a date-specific thing that they're rushing out, say, after a World Cup. They want to get it out before the Christmas market. All the book sales as well, just to note, are in that short six-week window before Christmas. Other books have a kind of long tail, but that 80% of book sales are in that time frame. Running up to Christmas. But yeah, the hard work is just getting the manuscript done and getting it in good shape.
Yeah. Right. So yeah,
the rest is persistence.
Yeah. So that's one way of doing it. And you did mention self-publishing, which I suppose, and you know, it used to be called vanity publishing and people kind of looked down their noses at it. How viable is it now?
Yeah, I think it's a very good route. I have friends who do it. I think the couple that are coming to mind, of a friend who's in the music industry, he would have an outlet, you know, publish the books, and he's gigging, touring, he can sell it at gigs. So, the traditional route, the author gets about 10%, but if you self-publish, you get 60% of the sales. So you sell a few thousand copies, you know, you get good money back. It's definitely viable. The other guy, the other friend, he's a Canadian friend. He's written two books, Death by Cannabis. They're crime fiction novels. He works in cannabis sector in Canada, so he goes around to stores, so he's a huge outlet, he's in that subterranean world. So if you have an outlet that way, you can get it put in front of people's faces. It's definitely viable.
I'd say that's the harder thing, in that I've interviewed people who self-publish their novels, but like they write a novel and then it's almost a full-time job. They're online promoting it and trying to get it on Book Talk and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is a slog. Like a journalist, like I mentioned, I've no trouble knocking on people's doors, looking for favors and stuff. But even I find it difficult to self-promote like that. All the promotion you have to do in social media, and that it wouldn't come naturally to me. But that's a real challenge with books. You have to get the word out there. So if you're working with a publishing industry, they will have that infrastructure there. They'll have, you know, they'll have a PR team that will help you get the word out. They'll, you know, help with book launches, book events. That is a real downside with self-publishing.
Richard, thanks very much for speaking with us today. Best of luck with your latest book. That's called HH, about the 1960s football manager Helenio Herrera, who was a bit kind of notorious. One texter says, ChatGPT is excellent in checking your spellings. checks everything, plus excellent feedback. Okay, well, ChatGPT is probably going to say, yeah, you're great. And does it check your spellings in, you know, Hiberno English? Or does it go, colour is C-O-L-O-R? There's no way I'd be sharing a book draft with my friends. You can see how what might be tricky because, you know, they're kind of going to go, oh, it was great. And they might think it was pants. Or, you know, they say something really critical about it. And because it's somebody you know relatively well, you know, there's more chance of you being offended by that. I've recently completed writing a book about my childhood, and the process really pushed me outside of my comfort zone. It taught me persistence and patience. It can be traumatic too, though. I imagine so. Depending on, I suppose, I'm kind of reading between the lines there, it sounds like perhaps some traumatic things happened within the story that you've been writing. But congratulations on getting it done. Somebody else says, sounds like hard work. Oh, it is. Of course it's hard work. I didn't think it was going to be easy. And another text says, if your book gets made into a film or TV series, does the author make much money? As far as I understand it, not initially. What often can happen is that they'll option. You know, your book, for instance, might be optioned by a film production company in the hope that they might make a movie out of it. But there's a thing called production hell, where you can a production company comes along and says, we'll give you $5,000, which is not to be sneezed at, of course. But we now have the rights to make your book into a film for, say, 10 years. 10 years go by. Nothing happens. Whereas if somebody else had optioned it and got it made into a film, then as I understand it, that is a lot of money. You could even get a percentage of the takings from the film itself.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.